We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order at 8:45 on the clock. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation. Hexby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. Mr. Juergens will not be joining us this morning. He's at a sporting event. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held May 5th, 2021. Approve all claims through May 19th, 2021 in the amount of $4,993,079.92. Accept claim number 21050098 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $790. Claim number 21050195 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $39,215.18. And claim number 21050206 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $4,989.98 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve specs and call for bids on highway striping project for 33.39 miles of striping. Bids to be opened on June 16th, 2021 at 9:15 a.m. Approve permit number 1195 to Black Hills Energy. They will be boring a 2-inch diameter, 1-inch HDPE natural gas pipe 5 feet below the bottom of the road ditches for 66 feet for a natural gas crossing under Township Road South 110th, approximately 2,000 feet south of East Aspen Road, located in the northeast quarter section, 24 Township, 6 North, Range 7 East, Nemaha Township and northwest quarter section, 19 Township, 6 North, Range 8 East, Adams Township. I would ask for a motion and a second.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Consent agenda passes. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 21050098 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $790. Claim number 21050195 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $39,215.18. And claim number 21050206 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $4,989.98. This brings the total amount of claims approved through May 19th, 2021 to $5,038,075.08. These are companies I'm associated with.
I would move to approve the regular agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Anyone may comment on any matter that is not on the agenda for future agendas. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights. Welcome home, Mr. Jones.
Thank you.
My boss is here.
Hey, how are the deer out your way?
Yeah, it was easy pickings.
Too soon. Too soon, Gary. Too soon.
Yes, I was gone last week, and Rosie took good care of the place while I was gone. So everything went good, except we had one leaky heat pump that they'll have to order a part for it. And fortunately, it just dripped down into the old attorney's office, which is storage now. So got to get that going. Greg Dennis is planning on coming on Monday, this coming Monday, to start on the south project over there, so weather permitting. So get that going. I checked with Plymouth Electric this morning on our variable speed pumps. They're going to try another option. I did get a bid from another company that wanted to do it a completely different way. They're going to just do it the way it was before, and it should be just ordering some parts that we had used before, so that won't be too big of a deal. And extension office, I didn't know if you guys had a chance to check out out there to see. Okay.
We were going to look to see if we could just clean the carpets instead of replace it. Your opinion on that? Mr. Schuler had brought that up.
Right. I thought the most critical thing was if we could start revamping the restrooms. I don't know if, you know, if this would be a good time to do it or not, but because it is going to be, I think Lama Plumbing said around $6,000 to change out the fixtures and redo the plumbing. But I did feel like that was something that is needed. As far as the carpet, I know it does have some stains, but I felt the same way where hopefully we can get some more.
Is the bathrooms for handicap accessible? Is that what the changes?
We would make them that way, yes.
They currently are not?
They're not, no. It does have a handicap size stall in there, but what we talked about, like with the water cooler is in the way.
Water cooler's definitely.
And the tiling, when you walk on it, the tile is actually loose. It's just a cement floor, but the tiles actually kind of crunch when you walk on them, so you can tell they're all loose.
I didn't go into the women's restroom. I just inspected the men's. And underneath the urinal, it's buckled a little bit.
Yeah.
How long it's been that way, I don't know. It's not a trip hazard, but it's buckled.
They wanted to replace some more tables also. They replaced some tables last year. They wanted to replace some more and get rid of all the chairs. Is there anything wrong with the chairs?
Not that I noticed.
Aren't those steel chairs?
Yes.
Meeting room, you mean?
I said I'd come take a look at it, but they were going to swap out some more tables, I know, and they wanted to replace all the chairs. And I asked them to hold off on the chairs if they were going to swap some more tables.
They might be plastic chairs that I had to go out there and just put some little tables together for them, and I was using that meeting room, and as far as I remember, I think that they were the nice molded plastic chairs, folding chairs. So
just out there for a meeting not that long ago, and I don't. They must not be in too bad a shape because I don't recall any issues.
I didn't think of anything wrong with the chair. The last time I was there was for the township meeting we had somewhere else.
Collegiate.
It was probably last year township meeting.
I thought there was the plastic ones 2 years ago.
I think they are. I guess I never really paid attention to chair I sit in.
I'll go look at the tables and chairs, but they are going to replace some tables again. I think they have a hard time moving them or something, and they're wanting to update those. They did some last year, some this year, and then we'll surplus out the tables, I suppose, unless we need them somewhere else. Unless there's something wrong with the chairs, are you guys good with just leaving the chairs alone then?
I am.
Carpet, leave the carpet alone, try to get it cleaned.
And I brought up that if the carpeting was to be replaced, that'd be the time to consider if you're going to repaint the building, interior or not.
And they have done a great job as far as cleaning. They had a lot of stuff in there, and they've got rid of a bunch of stuff. And they have been doing it themselves. They've been painting some offices and things like that. And I could check on as far as that glass partition, if that is an issue with them. That's an easy fix to get
the entrance,
yes,
to their main office.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cumbersome. I mean, it's hard for handicapped people to get in and out, and with anybody carrying anything.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys feel in the bathrooms?
I don't. Either way, I don't see the why the big need now, I guess, is my thing. I don't. How often are the bathrooms there really being used?
Staff would use them.
Staff would use them.
Other than by staff.
Tiling wouldn't be all that bad in cost.
I would almost say, though, if you're going to spend the money to tile, that's the time to, I mean, kind of, does it make sense to do it or not do it?
You're at a room change. You wouldn't necessarily have to do all of it.
No, I mean, if we were going to do the tile, that'd be the time to do the fixtures and ADA update.
Oh.
Just because we'd be tearing up that tile again when we change it.
Sounds to me like the biggest issue is moving the water cooler more than anything.
In my mind, that's the biggest issue. I mean, even for non-handicapped people, that water cooler's in the way.
It is. Yeah.
Well, but Dave, you can check on the other and come back to us again on that.
Yeah.
And Dave, I'll note that now what the bids were for carpeting the whole place, $14,000 to $20,000.
Yes.
And the staff that was there when I was there that day, they asked me what the bids were, and I told them that, and they gasped. They said, "Oh, well, we thought $4,000 or $5,000." And that changed their tune, too, on whether they recarpet right now. So they were like, "Well, we're fine. We can wait. Just get it cleaned." And I didn't see anything, or the nap was coming loose, or maybe I just didn't look in the right place.
It is actually the exact same carpet as we have on this floor, and it was put down the same time. So it's 2001, I believe. But it's held up really good.
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, but it needs cleaned.
Yeah.
Gary?
Has anybody talked to him since she's been back about future, you know, what are the plans, you know, trying to get ahead of it as opposed to...
The last I talked to Nicole now, and I don't remember where this falls into it, they wanted the front entryway moved. They don't like that, which Dave said that would be real easy. The bathrooms would be nice, but it didn't seem like they were pushing for those at all. They thought make the carpet look better. And everything else, they thought the building was working really well for them. So I didn't hear anything about building office spaces, or have you heard anything from Nicole on any of that?
Mainly it was that front entrance, removing that and maybe moving that counter to make it more accessible right when you walk in the door. I would imagine that, trying to think of which way, but just kind of putting that counter closer when you walk in the door, have an area there.
Well, the main thing, we need to make sure those bathrooms are disability accessible. We need to make sure of that.
I guess I would have thought the men's room was, but I'm not a certified to determine that.
Right, yeah. The men's, I think, is the women's has two stalls, and you have to have that five-foot radius circle, so that's where... Todd was kind of coming up with a plan to make that work to where you could... make that circle in there.
Would it go to one stall then?
The women's, he is still going to do two stalls and remove part of that front where the sink was at, kind of take some space out of that part.
Well, yeah, maybe look at the bathrooms and the water drinking fountain.
And that south entrance does need the floor.
Yes.
It's torn.
Yeah.
Pulled up.
And I just... cut it out, trimmed it up, but that little piece needs it. So those are just minor things that I should have, you know, could have addressed myself earlier and stuff. But I do go out to the extension office every once in a while, but pretty much...
not as much as you used to.
Only if I'm called to do something out there.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. They've been great to work with, and I really do appreciate, you know, years ago, that place had... so much, just desk and books and anything you could believe in there. It was full.
Well, and if you get some prices on the bathroom, we can bring it back and decide on it at that time. Maybe get quotes on cleaning the carpet. That's a good thing if we can make that carpet last longer. And I had the old carpet in the back of my mind. It must be before this stuff, I guess. But I remember going in there years ago for pesticide training or something. And there was some rough carpet in there.
Yeah, that was from 2001, so.
I guess that is a few years ago. But if it cleans up, wonderful.
And I want to say Davey is very good. He doesn't go and replace things and spend money to spend it. He does because he feels we need it. He's very competent.
Thank you.
Did Greg say how long he thought he'd be working on the outside of the building?
He thought it'd be... probably 6 weeks or so. There's really not a lot of repair on those two sections, but there will be some. But, yeah, he was guessing about 3 weeks per side on the south side and the north side of the door. So,
yeah. Did you ever get a bid on the evidence building?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask that.
Do you want to give him an update on that?
Yeah, I talked to Eric, at our last meeting, we're going to have that drive go all the way through. And the hard part with trying to make that look nice is there's just so much broken concrete everywhere that it would look silly to tie in, you know, new pieces of concrete, and then you go a little bit further and you still have some usable concrete, but it had cracks.
As a concrete guy, I liked it.
So the last one we talked about was just actually having that south approach come into the south side, just curve in there, and then the rest of the concrete would all be removed.
Instead of quilting everything in and patchworking it, that'll also be a lot less money than than what was quoted before.
Yeah, we would have some more just curb and gutter on that north along Washington Street there. So
the city will pay for that, though, correct?
Just the two approaches that they wanted out. Those are the two on the north west corner. There's two small approaches there.
Do you have new specs for those, for what you want done now?
I was going to try and get it before we left last week, and I didn't.
So. Didn't you have some extra time there yesterday?
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't have my plans in front of me.
Oh, I see. I see.
So that's what I have. But, yes, I'll check on, do some more checking on the bathroom, see. And, I mean, even if it's just a temporary fix, I could probably pop out that section in front of that urinal and just, you know, put something down so it's not. It's just kind of bad when you walk on it. You can just tell it's not glued down and it actually pops and stuff. So I could lamp by for a little while longer to get it. But.
Anything else for Dave? We're glad you're back.
Thank you, Dave. I'm actually glad to be back. Only trouble I might have to make, if they don't total out our car, I actually have to go back and get it in about a month or so. So. I'm hoping they told
me. I'll take you out.
Is it drivable or?
We drove it. We were just going up Wolf Creek Pass, and so we had to just turn around, and we pretty much limped back into the north edge of town there. But
no kidding. God, it didn't look like it was drivable.
Yeah, the engine still ran fine. All the lights were coming on and stuff. But
I'll take you out, Dave. It'll be on my Goldwing.
Okay. I did one smart thing, though. Whenever we were on the flat areas, we just saw deer everywhere. And I thought, well, if they're down here, I'll swerve to try and miss them. But going up there, I thought, if I see a deer, I'm not going to swerve. And that's what – I didn't even have a second to think about it, though. But one went flying over the top of the car, and the other one went to the side. So it killed those two, and I don't know how many got injured, but there's a whole – gang of angry deer trying to get me.
Angry deer.
Yeah.
Those are the worst, the angry ones.
They keep the body shops in business. Because when we were there, we just noticed, I mean, everyone's really aware because that's all you see is cars getting towed in with the front ends crunched in. And so
second thought, I won't take the gold.
No, I
was going to say, be careful when you go back. They might have a picture up there in the woods.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Equalization.
Nothing new.
Finance and insurance. Just trying to think if there's anything we should mention on there. Big dollar amount. I'm not thinking individual claims. I'm thinking of transfers, but we had some transfers and such. That's why the dollar amounts look so big. It's not money expelled. It's money moving between accounts. That looks like a big ticket item, but I assume we have money transferring to the highway department and just our general transfers and insurance fund. Human resources, employee relations. We're dealing with the personnel matter. We'll have a closed session on that later. We are also in the process of looking to hire some staff.
Good luck.
That's kind of what we're finding. Law enforcement, emergency management. Lisa won't be joining us today. The P&Z meeting is on the 25th at 6:30
with
7:30 with a timed event at
8
for the asphalt plant public hearing.
Yep.
Sheriff, do you have anything for us for law enforcement?
Nothing for me.
No news is good news.
No deer for you?
Not right now, anyway.
Oh man, let's hope that
surprising.
Road and bridge. Mr. Dorn.
got to get bids for highway striping. And they regraded Apple Road. It looks good. We should have. Did we get the other motor grader in?
No, just one of them came.
Just one motor grader has arrived. And discussion on assistant highway superintendent. That's it.
Up next, Ashley Greaves, chief probation officer, who is not present. Maybe she'll come later.
They were just moving too fast.
We are pretty high speed today. Becky, do you want to come up? Next on the agenda is approve or disapprove Nebraska Noxious Weed Program evaluation for Gage County 2020 and authorizing the chairman to sign it. We got a letter from Mitch Coffin with our scores on that. Which I have somewhere. Right here. Do you want to go over this with us at all, Becky?
Pretty much. When I was looking through it the other day, it looks like the only thing I got docked for this year was education. You have to have 20 hours of continuing ed, and with COVID, they only had two dates available this year. One was in February, which was in North Platte, and I didn't get to that one, and then they had one in July or August, and I made it to that one, so I did not have two dates full, and usually we have four opportunities to go, and the one in February is usually more like a conference and not as educational as the ones in April and November that I usually go to.
Oh. And then there's 50 points on county follow-up, 22, 12 points docked on infestation. Is there anything we need to be looking at? I mean, the board has not pushed you to...
No, I just, I need to get out there a little bit more and make sure I get in contact better with some of the landowners. A lot of them, you know, you can't find phone numbers for people anymore, so you just have to send letters and getting responses, and that is sometimes hard to get responses, but it's been going pretty good the last few years. So
does Mitch come out and look at this, or who?
They have an inspector for each area.
Because I know John always followed up on this stuff a lot, but in that report it says something about phragmites, and I know that was getting rough.
Are you seeing that really going? Right now, yeah. Yep. Up north is really bad. Yeah, I think last year I found 15 new spots just in the Philly Logan Township area. So
mainly creek bottoms, or yeah.
Wet spots,
and that's what probably hard to find too, because you're not.
Yeah, you have to look and drive slow and make sure you can see through all the trees and all that to try to. And a lot of it I can't see because unless you go on the property. So.
Is there anything you think you need for this, or?
As of right now, no, not really.
A few of those spots.
Any questions for Becky?
On that score, what they give us, if you hit 3,400, you're supposed to do some certain things?
You just have to, meet all their criteria for their reporting and all of that.
Because our score was 2938.
Mm-hmm. And most of it was, I believe, from missing the education.
We had 400 we didn't get for the education, so that would have taken us to 3338. It would have been only the 50 points for county county follow-up and infestation. And the county follow-up, that's, I mean, that's just making a report that you went out and looked after.
After I contacted them, and I just, there were some that I didn't have notes that I had talked to them or anything, so.
But you had?
Yes.
You had talked to them, just didn't document it.
Right, or they had called in and, yeah. Yep.
Undocumented, didn't happen.
Did they offer any virtual training this year?
No, they have. So far, they have two scheduled, one in July and one in November, and then if NACO has theirs in December.
If those were in person?
Well, that we haven't had any. What the first ones? No, they did not offer any virtual in 2020.
Seems like everybody
did. I mean, the bar, you know, we're required to have.
They had the associations wanted to not make that mandatory for this year, but the state didn't approve. They still said you had to have the 20 hours. So,
but they could have put it on.
Right. Yeah.
Dream.
Mm-hmm.
You would think there'd be something.
And then they dock you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, along with this dock, though, when they came in before, there's no fines, no penalties, nothing that goes along with this. This is kind of a roadmap and a goal for us to go towards. So, I'm sure if they didn't offer it, they don't think it's.
Yeah.
You would think they would have offered something.
Yes.
They said there was over like 25, 30 counties that didn't make the continuing ed for the year or something. So.
Any other questions for Becky?
Thanks for all you do, Becky.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Byers to approve signing the Nebraska Noxious Weed Program Evaluation for Gage County 2020. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Thank you, Becky. Up next, Ashley Grease, Chief Probation Officer, Probation Update.
Good morning.
We've been waiting for you for an hour or so.
Could you give your name, too, when you start talking, just for the record?
Yes, absolutely. And I brought with...
Remember, you're on probation.
Thank you.
Morning.
Thank you.
Well, good morning on this gloomy day. I just wanted to come by and share some information and apologize. My name is Ashley Grease. I'm the Chief Probation Officer for District 1. I wanted to come by and share some information in line with the budget around some data on what probation and problem-solving court is doing in the community. And also with me, I brought two very valuable team members in the district that I wanted to introduce quick. I have Heather Higgins, who's our Chief Deputy Probation Officer. I don't know if you can see her. And then Chris Reese. She's our problem-solving court coordinator. And Chris will talk a little bit briefly on problem-solving court and share some updated data for the two problem-solving courts in the district.
We need a problem-solving coordinator here.
Yes. All right. So I'll just kind of go through this, but if you have any questions as I go through it and at the end, just let me know. To start with, I just wanted to kind of give you an overview of the district makeup. The first there, you'll see our vision and mission. That is our statement as a state of what we strive to do on a daily basis, to uphold what we stand for. We are committed to using evidence-based practices to help reduce recidivism for individuals, whether it's youth or adults or problem-solving court participants, to provide rehabilitation and to provide safe communities. The next one there, you'll kind of just see, that's just the makeup of the district on the bottom right corner there, the 10 counties that we serve over. And the next part talks a little bit about the different types of classifications of supervision that we have. We base classification of what a client coming in, whether youth or an adult, based off of our assessments to determine risk, needs, and responsivity, and then also based off the offense that they're in front of the court on. So you'll just kind of see there at the top, there's a breakdown of adult population and the different types of classifications that we supervise. The higher the classification, the more that we would provide supervision, the more programming that we would put in place to help provide that skill building to help that client be successful long term. And same on the juvenile side. Also on the juvenile side, what's not on there, we do have pre-adjudication as well. That would be court ordered from the judge, where we would provide services before they're adjudicated. And then we also do juvenile intake. That would be, could be individuals that are already on probation, or it could be individuals that are not on probation. Law enforcement is citing that youth for something. They can contact us, and we can intervene and do an assessment to kind of determine next steps if we need to look at putting some sort of service in place or look at a temporary out-of-home placement. So that's just kind of to give you a little bit of a breakdown of the different types of population that we do serve. Next, just as kind of a glance at the district, we have 44 staff members in total. Right now we have one vacancy, but aside from that, we are fully staffed. In 2020, we served 1,740 clients. That would be both youth and adults in probation. We work hand in hand with three district judges and six county and juvenile court judges. We also work with Region 5 for behavioral health services to look at different service options that we can utilize. Work with multiple DHHS jurisdictions. And we work closely with law enforcement, treatment providers, educators, and attorneys as well. That next page there, it just shows you kind of the makeup specific for Gage County and who helps to supervise over in this area. Not all the staff on there are officed here. I counted there's six staff that are not officed here on there. Otherwise, everyone else is. But they do come over here on an ongoing basis to help provide supervision, or their supervisors that have oversight of those officers as well that are on there. The next is, and most of the data that I'm going to share with you is from 2020, the year 2020, to be kind of in line more with the budget year. You'll see when I talk about recidivism, it'll be more current information. But in 2020, in Gage County here, we served 51 youth and 436 adults, totaling 487. That information, then taking that and kind of breaking it down a little bit more to give you a little bit more insight on the demographics and the makeup of that population, you'll see on the next part there the age breakdown on the juvenile. You'll see the majority are 29% are age 16, and the next closest was 17 at 27%, and kind of the breakdown there. On the adult side, the highest was 38%, and that was the 18 to 30 range, and the next closest was 31 to 40 at 33%. Then it breaks down the race. Majority for the juvenile side at 86% being Caucasian. The next closest was African American at 6%. On the adult side, the majority being Caucasian at 90%, and the next closest was American Indian or Alaskan Native. For ethnicity, You'll see the breakdown there on the juvenile and adult side, majority not being Hispanic on both sides versus Hispanic. And then the gender breakdown, you'll notice for Gage County, is almost half and half for the juvenile side, 59% for male and 41% for female. On the adult side, majority are male at 72% versus 28% female.
Just wondering, curiosity, why do we keep track of ethnicities and gender?
It's something that we want to make sure as a system that we're adhering to equality and that we are being mindful so that we aren't seeing an increase in a certain ethnicity or race. So that's something that we as a system are kind of striving to make sure that we're continuing to assess.
Looks like men are getting picked on here.
For juvenile services, these next two, just to kind of explain to you here, are services that we provide through the state. On the breakdown on the right, we'll give you kind of a dollar amount. That is what the state has paid for through our voucher system for services for individuals that are on probation. So to start with, on the youth side, you'll kind of see, and we use a lot of acronyms in probation, so like PRTF, that's Psychiatric Residential Treatment Facility is what that stands for. You'll see the MH for mental health. But that just gives a breakdown on the various services that we provide for the youth population, what we use that voucher money for. And that would be for in-home services in the community and also for out-of-home services if that youth had to go out of home for a period of time. So you'll see that breakdown. In total, it was $298 is what we utilize for youth voucher dollars. For adult services, the next one, again, with the acronyms, we have, it says SUD, that's substance use disorder. We have different options there, both substance-based and mental health-based for services. Transitional living programs as well. So you'll see in total through the vouchers, we use $266,739 for adults in the area. On the left, you'll kind of see a breakdown of some different programs that we offer through our reporting center. We have two reporting centers. One is here in Beatrice, and then we have one in Nebraska City. What our reporting centers are there for are for us to be able to contract with outside agencies to come in and provide free programming for our clients. It is open to the community, too. It's kind of first come, first serve, so we designate that to probation population and problem-solving court, but if they don't fill up, they are open to the community, so anybody could come in to be a part of it, those programs. And you'll see some various programs on there. One thing through COVID that we kind of learned was we do have some barriers in the district. It's very rural. So with transportation, financial, some of those various barriers, and then just COVID in general and what that brought, we have utilized technology a little bit more to be able to get participants involved in programming from wherever they are if they can't make it there in person. And that's something that we're still offering for participants. It depends on the program. There are certain programs like trauma where it's better done in person, but the majority of them, we do have the option for our other rural counties that might not be able to make it in as well.
My experience has been so many of our youth or younger people that have issues, they start at home, and we don't get to parents or aunts and uncles, and it continues because we don't follow through on what happens at home with them.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're trying to provide that intervention early on so that we can provide those services in the home so it doesn't rise to that level of going out of home. There are those cases that might rise to that point, but they're ultimately coming back into the community. So whatever we can do to provide those services for the youth and for the family to help them be successful and give them some skills.
Do you work with the school districts in the area also?
We do, yes.
Okay, good.
Yep. Yep. And we have, I don't have it on here, we have a RISE specialist. What that position is they help with education for our youth and also looking into employment. So they'll meet with youth in the area and in surrounding areas as well to help them make sure that they're going to school, provide some programming around education, and kind of help prepare them for the future and what they can look forward to preparing for work life and just putting them in a better position, giving them skills for education and for work as well.
It's so important because you look at why they're there and then what you're doing now and then what you can do for them later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
prepare them, and it's so important
that
is a training process and experience to get them into that next step.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The next part on here is drug testing information. So that just kind of gives you an idea for Gage County, specifically in 2020, the amount of drug tests that we conducted on participants and the total cost breakdown for the state on that. We did expand our testing through COVID, and due to kind of trying to cut down on exposure, we utilized a sweat patch that a participant would wear, and that would kind of help us determine if they had any substances in their system within a time period. That's something that we've since gone away from and gone back to just urine collection. But that was something that was available as a method, and we still have it available if we have a court order that allows us to be able to utilize that. We would do that more on an exception basis if we had some barriers that would prevent them from being able to provide a urine sample.
Has probation been able to get any of those funds that are moving down from the federal government?
Not to my knowledge, not that I know of.
I think it'd be important that you would have some participation.
Yeah. Yeah, to my knowledge, I don't want to answer that for sure because I don't know the particulars on that, but not to my knowledge. So
I'd sure get a hold of the COVID-19 people and say, hey, how about us?
Yeah. We were able to receive some safety materials for our employees, masks, things like that, to better equip us during COVID. And the next two that I have on here are around recidivism. So this is more current information. This information was pulled from April of this year. This is subject to, it does change a little bit throughout the months, but as of April of this year, our recidivism rate for Gage County, 85% of the adult population did not recidivate. And what that is measured on is not committing a new law violation within 3 years from being successfully released from probation.
Good.
On the juvenile side, same type of thing. It was measured from, or pulled, excuse me, from April of 2021. The time frame is cut down with it being a youth population, so it's measured on 1 year. So not committing a new law violation within 1 year from being successfully released from probation. And we're at 88% for being successful. I kind of went through a lot of that. Before, I'm going to turn it over to Chris to talk a little bit about problem-solving court and some current data in the area and as a whole district. But do you have any questions over the information around probation? I like to try and give just a little bit of a picture so you know what we're doing in your community, so you know where that money is going and what kind of services we're able to provide for the population in the area. So.
Thank you.
I will turn it over to Chris then, who will talk a little bit more about problem solving court.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Chris Reese. I'm a new problem solving court coordinator for District 1. You'll notice in your handout there's some nationwide crime information there to give you an overall picture in regards to problem-solving court. We all are familiar with the growth of substance abuse, particularly since the 1980s, with the advent of methamphetamine and crack. So there's really a great, great need for substance abuse treatment. Approximately 50% of the offenders have mental health issues. We also have a problem-solving court that is specific to veterans. That's in Lincoln. We do not have that in this district. That really focuses on post-traumatic stress disorder and how veterans can be supported more from a trauma standpoint and a treatment standpoint. More than 80% of crime is drug or alcohol fueled. So the premise behind problem solving courts is if we can get at getting these folks sober and get their sobriety maintained, then it should reduce criminal behavior. When individuals are sent to prison, half are rearrested within the first year of release and 2/3 are rearrested within 3 years of release. Nationwide, recidivism rate from prisons is 76%. So to help combat this, drug courts have grown across the United States. They've also grown in Nebraska. In this very district, we opened a second drug court in 2019, in the fall of 2019. So we have a drug court here that is based out of Wilbur, led by Judge Johnson, and then there's a drug court in Auburn led by Judge Smith. Then when you look at Nebraska drug court programs, you'll look at the cost efficiency savings. Those are pretty big numbers in savings to tax dollars. We serve a diversity of offenders, with the youngest being age 18. Graduation for Nebraska drug courts match or exceed national standards, and we're really proud of that statistic. So if you look at the problem-solving courts, it's this page right here. This is just some of the criteria we look at when somebody is being considered for being entered into our problem-solving court. So some of the criteria is this serves nonviolent felony drug offenders. They need to score as being high risk to reoffend and have high needs and high responsivity issues. We use an evidence-based instrument to screen in those folks. There's such a thing as over-serving clients that are low risk, so we don't want our low-risk clients mixed with our high-risk clients. Then we put our low-risk people at greater risk. So that's why we rely on evidence-based instruments. Our program has 5 phases. It's a minimum 18-month program. Maximum is typically 36 months. Most people don't get through in 18 months. There's typically some type of recidivism that will slow a client's progression through the 5 phases. But we don't give up on them. We use incentives and sanctions. We increase treatment so that we don't lose them in the process. We reduce recidivism through targeted interventions that help individuals learn skills they are deficient in. Again, we use the reporting center treatment. And then we do individual skill building by the supervision officers. So those things combined with judicial oversight, intensive supervision, early intervention, help reduce the recidivism rate, particularly when you compare it to that same individual just going to prison. So the approach includes, so this just gives you a picture of what kind of a week looks like for a drug court client. In the early phases, you appear in court once a week. And during that court hearing, we review your progress. There's always an incentive or possibly a sanction issued. The judge spends at least 3 to 5 minutes with each client from the bench. The supervision officer gives an update report each week. As they go through the phases, like starting in phase three, you don't appear every week. It lessens. Everybody's involved in drug and alcohol treatment programs. That's based on an evaluation. It can be outpatient, intensive outpatient, or residential treatment. And then employment services as needed, home services. We drug test throughout the program, even when you're in the final phase and ready to graduate. And then the group services that we already spoke to. Research is showing more and more that much of individuals' problems come from some previous trauma. So we make sure that we have trauma treatment available. Specific to Southeast Problem Solving Court, we had 13 graduates in 2020. In 2021, only two have been terminated from the program to date. And there's currently 58 participants in the program. That includes the Auburn Court as well as the Gage County population.
Those that are terminated, are they terminated because they have violated the rules or?
Yes. In problem-solving court, there's a condition. There's bond conditions similar to a probation order. There's a very thorough explanation, and there's a screening process. Typically, they're not terminated unless we've gone through the sanctioning process, and we can't get that individual turned around.
Okay.
Or their behavior becomes a danger to the community.
Okay.
So the final page just gives you a cost comparison. This includes things other than problem-solving court, but that just gives you a comparison. Particularly nationwide, inmate cost per day is $98.49. That might be higher here. It might be lower here. I'm not sure. The jail cost is $45 a day.
Why is our jail cost so high per day then? Oh, my gosh.
That's just a brief rundown of problem-solving court. This is also problem-solving court month, so this presentation was kind of timely.
Is this more or less a dry-out program then? You have to be sober, and then you help the people reach sobriety, and that's what the sanctioning is? Do I understand that right?
Well, many of them come in actively using, and then slowly we reach sobriety and maintain sobriety. So it's not like they go to residential treatment and we're done. We have a five-phase process so that we're monitoring them and treating the cause of the sobriety. We're making sure they're incentivized to maintain that. We're trying to maintain their employment. Many of these people haven't worked for a couple years. There's some people in their 30s that are saying, this is the first time I've worked, maintained a job, and paid bills. The supervision is fairly intense, but it's coupled with intensive targeted treatment.
That's fantastic. Just fantastic.
I've seen some people do really well through drug court, and then a couple of years afterwards, without that supervision, they need that structure almost. So.
That's why it's longer than most programs. That's why it's not 30 days and done. The minimum amount of time is 18 months. And if they do relapse, then we have things like we have a relapse group that they go through in the later phases, and we keep revisiting those relapse triggers throughout the program. They're also required to go to support meetings like 12-step programming. We monitor that to make sure that they're going. Now with COVID, a lot of those turn to Zoom meetings. But some of the folks get more out of the Zoom meetings than they did the in-person meetings. It just depends on the individual. So we try to individualize the program as well.
That follow-up is absolutely mandatory. That is fantastic. If you don't follow up, if you just do this and then quit, good for you guys. Following up, I think, is fantastic.
It also includes home searches. So we try to do good. Those particularly early on. If they are hiding substances, we get those out of there in the first place. We also monitor who they can have contact with so that anybody they hang out with has to be approved by the court.
Any additional questions for Chris?
You do fantastic. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
All of you do fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris, Heather, and Ashley. I would ask for a motion to put the probation update on file.
I would so move.
Second.
By Meyer, second by Dorn. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order before a closed session?
Recess.
We need a recess. Let's take a 5-minute recess, and then we will go into closed session to discuss personnel and contract negotiation. No action will be taken after that.
You haven't got the motion yet.
Oh, no, we'll do a recess, and then we'll come back and go into closed session. Thank you, though, Counselor. We'll go into closed session at 9:47 on the clock, necessary for the protection of public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. This is for contract negotiation as well as personnel. No action will be taken in or after this closed session.
So should we have a motion to do that, maybe?
Let's have a motion to do that.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Haxby. Second by Dorn. Going to closed session at 9:47 on the clock. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. We are in closed session.
Oh, now it is.
Ready?
Yep. Welcome out of closed session at 11:35. Anything else for the good of the order? Bad of the order.
Motion to come out of closed session.
Oh, yeah. Tobias says we don't have to do that, but we still do. Oh.
Let's just do it.
Yes.
We have a motion by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Haxby to come out of closed session at 11:36. Please vote. 5 in favor. With Mr. Dorn stepping out, motion carries. Anything else for the good, bad, or otherwise of the order?
Move to adjourn.
Say 11:36.
11:36. We're out of closed session. Motion to adjourn by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Byers to adjourn at 11:36. Please vote. 5 in favor. 4 in favor with Haxby voting no. We are out of closed session.
I was going to hope at 11:36. We could have one time that it actually didn't work.
You thought I was going to be there, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I thought you were. It's been some funny.
Good, Emily. Good.
And I thought two things on our agenda today that we were going to be done early.
You know, I'm not working out for you, Emily.
These are still on. Let me turn that off.